Hello and welcome to another episode of Second Baptist Podcast. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We do have a beautiful sermon lined up for you today entitled Beyond the Tree. It's going to be proclaimed by our own pastor, Cheryl Gallerneau, who is our pastor for our children, youth, and families here at Second B. We have just a terrific children's program here. If you would like more information on that, you can visit our website at secondb.org/kids or email Pastor Cheryl at Cheryl, that's S-H-E-R-Y-L, at secondb.org, and she would be so happy to give you more information on our terrific children's program. Our sermon today will be covering Luke 19, 1 through 10, and Psalm 119, 137 through 144. So now let's turn our hearts and minds to worship as we listen to this beautiful sermon. Thank you again so much for joining us on the Second Baptist Podcast.
Well, hello and good morning. And I thought it would be longer in this service because of the children's time. I told them earlier service it went really fast. And here we are, and here we are again. And I want you to know I'm very honored to be up here this morning. I want to start first, before I message, I want to say thank you to all of you for our trunk or treat this past Wednesday we just had. Even if you weren't here, you guys were here because y'all provided a plethora of candy. And these kids were sugared out and all over the place. And we had people eating here in the grand hall. The food truck was amazing. And we had this bounce house, y'all, that was right over there on that side of the worship center. And when the men brought it in to put it up, I guess I realized I ordered a much bigger one than I've ever ordered before. And they started blowing it up, and I was looking at that camera thinking, oh Lord, it's going to hit the camera. I don't know what we're going to do. And then it just kept going and going. And y'all that were here know, it was literally like 4 inches from the ceiling. It was fantastic. And our youth were having a good time on it. Jordan and Madison were having, it was so fun. And it was so fun to see all of you. So thank you for Trunk or Treat and all that you all did. And I want to plug one more thing. This coming weekend, Winning Over World Struggles going to be here, a conference here at Second B. And if you haven't heard about it, I invite you to go to the website and look it up. There's some really cool speakers that are going to be there, some of them in this very room. And so we're encouraging you to check it out. It's Friday night and Saturday morning, and I would love for you to be here if you could with all of us. So I want you to know that this is a little intimidating. I have some of my mentors in the room. I have my pastor in the room, all of y'all. And so I'm really excited to be here. It's been a really, really busy week. Like I said, I was thrilled for trunk or treats. And then this weekend, my entire family came home for the game. And I even have family from the Northeast. Y'all know I go up to Maine every summer with our family. And some of them said, Texas football? What is that? And so they decided to come in town, Taylor and Will. They just recently got engaged last week. It's very exciting. We're happy for them. And they came in to see real Texas football, not that stuff that Pastor Jake was talking about a few minutes ago. And regardless of the turnout of both red and black games, I'm still sporting the team because I'm still Pirate Pride and Tech Pride all the way through. So I'm excited that everybody's here, and I'm very honored to be here with y'all. And when Pastor Jake asked me, hey, what do you think? Do you want to preach coming up in the next few months? And I said, oh, okay, I'd like to do it. I do it a couple times a year, and that's about all I can do for y'all. And I said, yes, and I was honored that he asked me. And then I looked at the lectionary for the passage for today, and I went, oh, Zacchaeus. Everybody knows Zacchaeus. Every single person knows the story. How am I going to preach a sermon today on Zacchaeus? And even our children, I was teaching a few weeks ago in our children's Sunday school class. It was a great day because we had them all together. And so I had first through fifth grade, and we got in the room and we got started on the lesson, and they knew this. They told me the story. I didn't even have to talk about it. They were telling me Zacchaeus' story. And then they were so excited because each kid wanted to be the tax collector. And it was so funny to see how much they were going to charge you and then put some in their pocket and then how much they would give the government. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they loved it. And it was really fun. And I started thinking, you know, after that day, what is it about this story that we, as children growing up, and these children here in the sanctuary today, why do they love it so much? What is it about this story? It's easy. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? And our kids are wee little people. And they relate to this little person in the story, and it's fun, and it's interesting. And so they pick up on those things. And then, if you think about it, the next thing that happens in the story, Zacchaeus runs. Y'all, when was the last time we as adults ran for fun? Not for weird marathons and things that some of y'all do that I'm never going to do. Running for fun. Just running. I love that episode in Friends where Phoebe and Rachel run all funny through the forest. I love Friends. Everything could relate to a Friends episode. Anyways, running for fun. It's not something we do. Ever since I've been in the church and on staff, someone has always said to me, Cheryl, you walk way too fast. You're way too fast, right? Because I just walk fast. It's a speed. But I don't do it for fun, and we don't do those things. But children run, and it's so pretty. You see them run off the stage after they put their cross and their Bible, and it's beautiful, and I love it, and they're so cute. And then Zacchaeus climbs a tree. Y'all, we don't climb trees. We don't even encourage our children to climb trees because we say it's dangerous, right? At 2B Leaders Camp all summer long, Jordan will kick the kickball way out far, right? Or some of our youth will kick the football and it'll get stuck in the tree. And every single one of the campers volunteers to climb the tree to get the ball because climbing trees is fun. And Zacchaeus does it in the story. And so these kids relate. And I would bet that any parent in the room that has put a child to bed at night knows that the child is going to pick that same book over and over and over and over because they love repetition and they can tell you the story back and they feel like they're in charge. And that's why we love this Zacchaeus story. So what in the world am I going to do with it today? Because y'all all know everyone is an expert, right? I thought about it and I thought, well, I'm gonna give you a little twist on this story. I'd like to present it to you from a little different perspective. Maybe, just maybe, when you leave today, you might have something different in mind on this story, and it might have touched you in a different way. As I was studying for today's lesson, I found it interesting that just before this story, Zacchaeus, in Luke 18, it says, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. The story of Zacchaeus is Zacchaeus, he's seeking to see who Jesus was, right? For the Lord he wanted to see. So he's looking for him. And that's what we think of the story. But maybe, just maybe, bear with me for a second. Is it possible that the song is wrong? Maybe it is. For the Lord wanted to see Zacchaeus. I don't know that Zacchaeus was really, I think Zacchaeus was curious. He'd heard about this person and I've got to find out if everybody's going, I'm going to go too. And I'm going to find out what it is. But I believe in my heart that the Lord was seeking Zacchaeus. He knew right where to go, right where to find him, right where to get to that tree. And Zacchaeus was found by the Lord. Many of you know that for many years, I taught school. It was one of the favorite things I've ever done. I taught for years, and I taught fourth grade, and I loved it. And there are always, as educators in the room will know, there are always some of the students who will never leave you. You'll remember them for the rest of your life because they made some impression. Or maybe you can't name your children after such and such because of, certain kids that were in this room that you had over the years. There was one year, I will name the little boy Zach in honor of the story today. He came to my room. I found out he was on my roster, and the third grade teacher that had had him the year before came to me and said, oh, Cheryl, let me tell you some tricks to deal with Zach. He's a lot, and I can help you. I've got a file on what I did with Zach when this happened and this happened and this happened, and I'm going to help you. And I said to her, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Let me figure it out for myself. Because, you get these children, and some you have to really work and figure it out. And so I said, just let me work with them, and let me figure out what's going to work for Zach and me. And then if I need help, I'll come back to you. And, Zach was cool. He was hip. He even changed his name. Like, he legally asked his parents because he wanted to have another cool name. I won't tell you what it was. But he went down and had his name. That's how cool this kid was, and had his name changed, this really cool name. And he was difficult. We had some battles, and but I loved him. And one of the things that Zach hated to do more than anything was write. And I was the fourth grade writing and math teacher. So, you know, I got to teach this kid writing. It's going to happen. And so we would write passages every few weeks, a story, because as most of you know that are in education, fourth grade is the writing star test at the end of the year, right? And so they have to, when I taught, they had to write two passages 2 days in a row. And I had a kid who didn't want to write ever on a passage. And so I came up with this thing with my students. And forgive me if you are in education, and this is a little bit offensive. I thought it was funny. I told the kids that the star police would come at any time and check on us and see if we were doing our job. And so I had them terrified all year long that the star police were going to show up in our room because I needed these kids to write and do their job. And poor Zach, he's not going to do it. He wasn't doing it ever, ever. So zoom, fast forward to the end of the year. Here we are at the writing star test. And it's day one. And that was back when the time when the star test wasn't timed. And so the kids could take as long as they needed to write a paper. And we would just stay there until this child wrote one passage. And I have no idea what the prompt was, but Zach was sitting at the back of the room facing the back wall so he wouldn't be distracted. And all day long, I'd just, you know, touch his little shoulder. And Zach, how are you doing? It's good. You're doing real great. Got to keep working. Nothing on his paper all day. And I thought, we're never going to go home and have supper because sweet Zach's got a blank paper. And there was one other little girl in my class because she was really, really smart and really particular. So she wanted her paper perfect. And so she stayed long to write this paper. And her mom was coming to pick her up. And her mom happened to be a prison guard at one of the nearby prisons. And so she came straight from work. You get it. She walks past the windows of the classroom. And it was like, oh. And I walk up to Zach and I said, Zach, they're here. The star police came. They're here. And he said, oh, I've got to, Mr. Gallerno, I've got to write. And I tell you, that boy had a paper written by the end of that 5 minutes, and it was beautiful. And we turned that sucker in, and the next day he came back, and he wrote a paper, and he was so excited. And y'all, I know that I tortured him, but I love. And it was this dance that he and I had to look past whatever was in that file from the teacher before. And I will never forget him because he made such an impact on my life. Okay, so I think it was interesting. Sorry, I got sidetracked thinking about that sweet boy. I think it's interesting that the townspeople, well, we know they disliked him. He was a tax collector. He was stealing from them. He was doing awful things. But not only did they dislike him and not want to be around him, they overlooked him and they never looked for him. He was an unseen person. And think of all these people that we know that are ignored and unseen because we choose, right? We choose not to look at them. I want you to think about that. So a few weeks ago, I was talking to my family. We were doing a family chat, and my oldest, Evan, he said, oh, you're preaching on Zacchaeus. Well, you're going to preach on the tree, right? Because everybody preaches on the tree. That's what you're going to do. And so I said, well, not really, but here it is. I'm going to give you a little tree sermon. I want to tell you about this tree. Why this tree? Why? What is the significance? It is very important. It's in the story. It's the tree that Zacchaeus went to. And this picture, supposedly, I have to trust it. I've never been there, is supposedly the actual tree. Any of you been and seen the actual tree? Many of you have taken trips to the Holy Land. No. Supposedly, this is the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up into. And so then I was studying, what is it about the sycamore tree? Why this tree in this story? And I learned that a sycamore tree is a symbol of strength, protection, reliability, and clarity. Ah, clarity. Very interesting, I thought. Maybe this tree is exactly what we're looking for. It's the tree that provided what Jesus needed to see Zacchaeus. Not that Zacchaeus could see Jesus. It was the clarity for Jesus to walk straight up and see him up in this tree as everybody else was ignoring him. There's your tree sermon. We're going to move on from there. I wanted you to get it, Evan. There you go. I was studying more, and y'all, this church loves Richard Rohr, and I was honored to find such an interesting perspective from Richard Rohr on the story of Zacchaeus. And in his book, Breathing Underwater, Spirituality and the 12 Steps, Richard Rohr explains that transformation has often been viewed in a certain way. The transformation of people, what we go through. Everybody at the time, he thought, sees it this way. We sin, we're punished, we repent, and then we're transformed, right? But actually, he says, I don't think it's that way. He says, I think it's we sin, yes, and by grace, at God's grace, and because of the Christ's unconditional love, we then experience a transformation, and then we repent. Huh? So it's because was the grace from God and the unconditional love that he decided that he was going to repent. It's because it was right. It was because it was given to him. No matter, he didn't have to do anything to get it. God was there. Jesus was there. He offered him his grace. He said, come down. I see you. You are important. You are worthy. And this beautiful transformation happens right underneath that massive tree that we just saw and right in front of all of these people who have chosen to ignore and to overlook Zacchaeus for who he is. Now, for a minute, I'd like for us to look beyond the tree. If we were to read ahead in the text, in the Bible, it's very interesting that the very next story is the parable of the 10 minas. The story of the nobleman giving 10 each 10 minas, right? They go and they take this money and what do they do with it? And they bring it back and they're going to find out how they, you know, how they did and what he thinks of it. And I want to tell you that I was studying that and you guys gave me this beautiful Bible for my ordination and I'm treasured. It's in my office and on my desk every day. And so I was looking through it. First of all, I was looking through and just reading the special notes that many of you put in here for me. And it's a lot and I love it. And I'll just go back to it time and time again. But one of the things that I thought was most interesting and I'm so grateful for is the bottom half of the Bible. This is a teaching Bible, a study Bible, and it helps to explain the scripture. If you don't have a study Bible, you should get one because it's quite fantastic. And I was reading and I was looking down below in the bottom section. And it says, the description for this passage, it says that Jesus gave this parable in response to those who supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. It was probably a concern because he was near to Jerusalem, and it shows that the kingdom will not be seen in its fullness until Christ returns. It begins in a small way and grows gradually until then. I love this part. The kingdom of God will grow and appear gradually in each of us too. So think about it. Zacchaeus, this is just a very small, short, right, step in his life. And he's not going to be where he is right now. He's going to grow gradually, just like each and every one of us. Many times I talk about St. Benedict's Chapel because it's very near and dear to my heart, and I very much love going and volunteering over there, and you all do the same. We have people who deliver food and people who show up and serve. And I get to go once a month, sometimes more, and often Mason comes with me. And I shouldn't, but I have two favorite people who come to St. Ben's, and I know I've talked about one of them, Scott. I started seeing Scott come, and he drives this brown pickup truck, and in the back of his pickup truck, he has all of these treasures. He's a fantastic dumpster diver, and he knows just what to go and get during the day, and then he refurbishes them. And he turns them in for profit, and he's smart, and he's kind, and he walks up, and Mason and I will say, where's the truck today, Scott? It's in the back of your truck, and he'll tell us, oh, it was a big day, good day, lots going on, or you're not so good today, my truck's broken, but one of the things that I love that he does the most is he'll, depending on the day, he'll walk up, and he stomps his feet, and the dust that falls off shows me how much work he did for the day. And he's very proud of the dust because he's just dirty from head to toe. And it's beautiful because I know he had a great day when that dust comes off of his shoes. And he just brings me such joy. And he's just happy. And I've seen him grow from the first time we met him to now. And he walks up with confidence and it's beautiful. And there's this other man, Roy. I love Roy. He's kind, and he dresses very nicely, and he wears fantastic shoes. And I am a shoe person, so I always, when Roy comes, he kind of stands and waits for me to look at his shoes to know that I comment on those shoes. And a couple of months ago, he came, and he had on his beautiful outfit, whatever he was wearing. I love it. And I could sense something different in him. He was kind of down, and I said, "What's up? What's going on, Roy? How are you?" And he said, "It's just not a good time. I'm kind of going through some rough patches, and I don't know if it's going to come together." And I just didn't see the smile. He has the most beautiful white teeth usually, and his smile is so big. And he was down, and I could see it across his whole body. And I was like, "Well, you know, Roy, you're not alone. And whatever you're going through, we can talk about it. We can sit, and you know that God is with you. This place is, you come here every day to get your meal, and you talk to these people, whether I'm here or not." And, you know, and he appreciated that. We had a good little talk. It wasn't long. It wasn't a sermon, but it was all right. Last month I was there, and Roy showed up again, and here he's back, and he's got his beautiful shoes on and his nice clothes, and I can tell he's different, and he's happier. And I said, "How's it going, Roy?" And he said, "Oh, things are better. Things are better." And just before Roy had come up, there was another man that came. I love this. And this man was funny. I don't know him. But he had on a really big watch with a really orange face. And I said, "Oh, man, I love your watch. It's so cool. I love the face on it." He's like, "Yeah, and it works." And he was so cute. And he waited to get his food. And then Roy comes to talk to me. And he's telling me things are going better. And his life is, things are just looking up, Cheryl, he said. And he said, "And by the way, that man's." And I was like, I just loved it that he reached back and he said, "I just want to thank you for talking to me. Things are looking better in my life." And he got to see his family. And I don't know what will happen next month when I go, but I can see this beautiful transformation that is happening because of the ministry at St. Benedict's and the people that are taking time to get to know him. Jesus is amazing in this story. I think it shows us that there are so many ways that we can look past things when we're looking beyond this tree. One of the things that I really want to point out to you before we go today is how Jesus shows us that we can look past our own insecurities, just like these people at St. Benedict's that come, and just like every single one of us in this room. I don't know if you feel this way, but there are often times when I will be doing a project or doing something, and I make a misstep somewhere in there, and I forget to do something, or something goes wrong in the middle of this project or whatever. And no matter what I've done during the day, during that project, I'm going to dwell on the one thing that I messed up on, the one small thing, and it's going to eat at me, and I'm going to think about it for the rest of the day, and I'm going to think about it for the rest of the week, and I'm going to doubt myself. And I don't know if that happens to you, but I think we do that. And what God wants us to see is that we can look past those. We are more than that one mistake that we might have made. I'm not saying Zacchaeus made one mistake, right? But we all make mistakes. We all make more than one. But we're more than those that we made. And I want us to remember that we can look past our own insecurities and know that we're worthy, just as Zacchaeus was, for that. We do see that through so many stories in the New Testament, this is what I love about Jesus. He demonstrates how beautiful it is to look past these insecurities. We see Jesus eating with tax collectors. We see him talking to the woman at the well. We see him meeting with sinners that have, you know, done this and that. And that's the people that Jesus wants us to see. That's the people that Jesus wants to hang out with. Just like that story that Pastor Jake preached on last week, the man who was in the temple, the tax collector who was in the temple, and the other man, the nobleman, said that this guy wasn't worthy enough to be in the temple with him, right? Why? Why don't we look past that to see the person that is inside? And Jesus shows us that and demonstrates that in so many beautiful ways. It's the act of transformation that Richard Rohr was talking about. Jesus shows us through these meetings that he has, through the woman at the well, the transformation that she has while he's there, the man getting his sight, Zacchaeus, the woman that had been suffering for years and touches him. It's a transformation that we get to see because Jesus sees these people that he wants us to see as well. Before we go, I'd like to leave you. Good. Sorry. I move too much, I think. Sorry. There's a story that I heard not too long ago, and many of you might know it. So bear with me if you do. I thought it was rather beautiful, and I would like to end on this story. And there were two brothers that lived in a tiny town in Italy, and they were poor. And they decided that they would steal sheep because they knew that this would get them some money. Well, they were caught right away, and the townspeople pulled them to the center of the town, and the judge came, and immediately they were found guilty. And the punishment was rather strict. They branded each boy ST right here on their forehead for sheep thief. And they wanted these boys to grow up knowing how horrible they were, and the town around them to see this horrible thing that they did always on their face. Well, one of the brothers, he couldn't handle it, and he left. And he couldn't bear the pain of seeing the people see him with this ST. So he left, and bless him, he ended up dying a lonely, poor man with no friends. The second brother stayed in the town, and he decided that even though he was embarrassed and felt horrible about what he did, he decided that he would start working for free for the very same farmer that owned the sheep that he stole from. And gradually over time, the farmer noticed some changes in this boy and began paying him a slight fee. And gradually, the boy was able to actually have enough money to buy a couple of his own sheep. And then more and more sheep as he started owning, he was able to stop working for the sheep farmer and start having his own farm. And he was able to start hiring staff. He started going around to church. He started meeting people in the town. And years went by, this boy to man, now one of the richest people in the village, has become one of the most beloved. He would go around and help people and do lots of things for everybody in the community. And one afternoon, he was walking through the center square there, and he was old and kind of bent over and very wrinkly. And there was a guest, a woman who had come into town, a visitor, and she was shopping there in the square too. And he walks past her, and she stops and asks one of the nearest shopkeepers, "Who is that man? What? I noticed something on his forehead. What did it say?" And the shopkeeper said, "Oh, Mr. So-and-so over there?" And she said, "Yeah." And he said, "Oh, ST on his forehead. It stands for saint." And so after the years, they had chosen to look past what this boy had done and seen him for the love and the care that is in his heart as he grew older. Would you pray with me, please? God, I thank you for this opportunity today. I thank you for the words that you share with us through this beautiful book. Help us to take this message as we go and to remember to look past any insecurities and any mistakes that we might have or other people might have and start looking at people for who they are and for what God sees us to be. Thank you for the love that you share with us each and every day. Amen.
Thank you again so much for joining us again this week right here on Second Baptist Podcast. Again, if you ever are in the Lubbock area, please stop on by and visit us. We would love to show you around and help you get acquainted with Second B. Also, make sure you stay tuned every week right here as we bring you a new podcast. And keep your ears open because we do plan on bringing more podcast content as well. So if you would like more information on Second Baptist, you can visit our website at secondb.org. You can also visit our Facebook page at Second Baptist LBK. If you would like to give to Second Baptist, you can do so right on our website as well, secondb.org/give. Thank you again so much for joining us this week on the Second Baptist Podcast. And please make sure and visit us every week right here as we bring you a brand new podcast sermon as well as upcoming new podcasts that are just right around the bend. So make sure and join us. Have a great week.